Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Inside Track, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine. I am your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. We're talking today with Georgia native Pee Wee Moore, an acclaimed outlaw country singer-songwriter who tours an average of 45,000 miles a year, performing an endless string of one-night stands, honky-tonks, festivals, and theaters. Welcome, Pee Wee.
Thank you.
Man, that's a lot of road miles.
Yeah, it's definitely added up over the years.
And I think we traded a couple emails a couple days ago. You've been out at Sturgis, is that right, performing?
Yes, we did our 8th consecutive year out there this year, and we did a little thing called the Dakota Territory Riders Festival. It's kind of a separate thing from Sturgis, but it still kind of ties into it.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. So you've been from Georgia to Tennessee to Texas, back to Tennessee in your musical career. Tell me a little bit about that journey for you and how you got started.
Well, I grew up in a little town called Fort Overthorpe, Georgia, and it's just right on the border of Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's just right across 5 minutes, maybe. At that, and so I spent most of my time as a musician in Tennessee anyway, starting out, and, mm-hmm. and just had lived there back and forth between Georgia and Tennessee, and then moved out to Austin in 2010, just because I, you know, loved some of the music that came out of the area, and it was a great experience for me, and I met a lot of good people and a lot of good friends and contacts in the business there, and kind of ended up going back home because I was on the road just as much as I was anywhere else, so mm-hmm. I wasn't in Austin all that much.
So tell me a little bit about your earlier influences, how you actually got started in music to begin with.
You know, I grew up listening to Waylon and Willie and Johnny Cash and those guys from my mom and my uncle. They were musicians, and they were real big into the outlaw movement, and they played guitar and sang and wrote songs themselves, but it really turned me on to that music back when I was a kid, and I just kind of, it just stuck with me.
And you I'm assuming played during high school and got started in different bands from there that early for you?
Yep. I started playing guitar when I was 9.
Okay.
And I played in elementary school. I had a band together. And
cool.
We got together and did some jamming and just, you know, just played around. And mm-hmm. at my buddy's bedroom, and I think we did the talent show at the elementary school in 6th grade. Just been playing for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. The style, outlaw country, and listening to some of your music, I hear even honky tonk in there. Is that just a natural progression? The style that you play, is that just comes out of your influence with family? How did you finally kind of settle in on the outlaw country Americana genre for yourself?
The outlaw part of it is really just about not conforming to the mainstream country music genre, you know, which mm-hmm. isn't country music anymore. And just kind of doing it my own way, and I've been able to do that. But you mentioned some of the honky tonk and stuff. I've always been a fan of guys like, you know, Hank Williams and Ernest Tubb and mm-hmm. And you know, all those guys. But I love that kind of music, and up into the '70s with the Willie and the Waylon, where they turned it a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just the whole spectrum of real country music. I love all that stuff.
And I see you've gotten to play with a lot of your musical heroes. What's that been like for you?
Oh, it's been a blessing and an honor. It's really. Every time I get to play with a hero of mine that's still alive, I'm just blown away by it.
What are the circumstances that have, you know, got you? I mean, I'm looking at the list here: Kris Kristofferson, David Allan Coe, Ralph Stanley, Dwight Yoakam, Charlie Daniels. I mean, that's just the beginning of the list. What is it that a lot of people would love to play with those guys? How have you managed to find yourself in the right place to be able to get on stage with those guys?
Connections and just sticking to my guns and trying to bring a quality show wherever I've been throughout the years, it's really helped me out in a lot of ways. It's kind of funny because the David Allan Coe stuff came about because we knew some of the Outlaw Motorcycle Club, and the Kris Kristofferson thing came about because we were in with the Hell's Angels out on the West Coast.
Okay.
They all got it with you. It's pretty interesting how it all kind of connects together.
Yeah, yeah. And you're writing most of your songs, original material?
Yeah, absolutely. The new record, I actually cut a couple of covers that I've just thrown in my repertoire over the years. One is Georgia on the Fast Train that Billy Joe Shaver wrote, and I've been a fan of that one for years, and it's kind of got a special place in my heart because I'm a Georgia boy,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
born and raised. And then the other song is Thunder Road, which is a Robert Mitchum song that he'd written and sang in the movie, and he did the whole movie, directed the movie, produced the movie, the whole nine yards. But
mm-hmm.
it was kind of a thing to me also because my granddad was a moonshiner and he ran it and got
okay.
in a lot of trouble and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the songwriting process for you.
They just kind of come to me, really. I used to try to push it and just finish them, but sometimes I'll get a line in my head, and I'll work on that, and if it becomes strained, I'll hold off for a little bit and kind of keep it on the back burner, and then it'll come back around. I don't usually try to push it. I just kind of let it flow pretty easy, naturally.
Have you ever gotten to write songs with some of these folks that you've been able to play with over the years? Has any collaborations come out of that?
I've wrote several songs with Roger Allen Wade, who kind of gave me my start when I was a young guy, and I started hitting the honky tonks and around Chattanooga, and he was playing everywhere, and I asked him if I could open for him, and he said, "Yeah, come on." And I opened for him, and then played guitar for the rest of the night, and then ended up playing with him for a couple of years. I've written some songs with him, and he's a solid gold songwriter. He wrote Country State of Mind that Hank Jr. did, and
mm-hmm.
he wrote American by Bird, Southern by the Grace of God that Waylon and Johnny Cash cut. And
mm-hmm.
Just all this, he's got a crazy list of songs that have been cut by heroes of mine, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Are you, do you travel with a band, or are you the singer-songwriter artist type when you're performing?
Most of the time I'm with the band. I've got a three-piece fan. Sometimes we add a pedal steel and do a four-piece, but usually it's a three-piece with a electric guitar, bass, and drums. But then again, I do some acoustic shows as well. They're fewer and far between these days.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular type of venue that, you know, we talked about the honky-tonks and festivals and theaters. Is there a particular type of venue that that you prefer or that you find yourself in more times than not that you really enjoy?
Well, you know, I mean, we always love playing the smaller, intimate clubs, but there's also some B-class venues that are bigger and some old-timey historical theaters that are very cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere that people appreciate the music and, you know, everybody's cool that's where we want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you done much, have you had a chance to do any European tours?
I haven't. We've actually been talking about it for next year, and I think we're going to line that up. We've had a few offers, some stuff come through for Italy and Germany and France.
Mm-hmm. That's
I've
great.
I've got some pretty good contacts in England too.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to try to hit it up.
I saw where you have played with different groups at some point. You kind of made the choice to make this a solo career. What was the catalyst for you for that?
Well, it's just it's hard being in a band and having the democracy of members having to, you know, having to get clearance to do everything, you know, to go on the road or record a record or do anything, you know. It's a hard thing if you have multiple members with input saying, oh, I can't do this, you
mm-hmm.
know, we can't tour, we have to do this, you know. And
mm-hmm.
for me, it's always been about getting out on the road and taking the music out to the people, and it's hard to do sometimes when the other guys don't want to do it or their girlfriends don't want to do it,
sure.
or their wives, or they have kids or jobs they want to, would rather work or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What's a road tour look like for you? Is it strategic? Are you kind of go out and you're out for a long haul? Or are you in and out of your home base?
We do from spring till late fall. We're pretty hard and heavy on the road. We're out for more than a month at a time usually.
Okay.
And usually it ends up being a couple months, and then we'll go back home for, you know, maybe a week, take care of some stuff and hit back out. But usually during, you know, from early spring to late fall, we're heavy on the road. And then when it hits wintertime, we're usually back home, and then we'll go out for maybe a week run here and there and stick to weekend stuff that we can hit within, you know, 6-8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that puts you out, how many dates a year are you guys playing right now?
I've actually slowed down the last couple of years because we started cutting venues out that were just kind of stops between places that weren't really working out for us.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing around 3 to 350 dates a year.
Wow.
About every day. And then, you know, as you play for several years like that, you learn that some of those venues really aren't working out for you.
Sure, yeah.
So you kind of cut out the ones that really aren't important, and then you do the important stuff, so you're not really wearing yourself out.
Yeah.
Now we're doing probably about around 200 to 225 dates a year.
Okay. And you've been playing that type of schedule for how long? How long has this been a career like that for you?
It's been 8 years solid with that kind of schedule.
Okay. Wow. That does add the miles up quick.
Oh yeah,
and your new CD, American Outlaw, and that's is that out or on its way out?
It's out. It actually it dropped on the 14th of July.
Okay, so just out a little less than a month. Okay, so tell me about that. What that's the new project, and I presume that's the one you're touring promoting right now.
Yeah, we did that one with Rusty Knuckles, and you know, I I talked to Ralph a while back about doing a record with him, and got on board with it, and we worked it out, and I went in the studio, and I had the idea of recording, you know, somewhere between 11 to 13 songs, and went in and ended up laying 16 tracks down that we felt that we really needed to keep, so we made a pretty big record out of it.
Yeah, that's more than what a lot of folks normally do.
Yeah, it's a good listen. It, you know, you can put it in the player and go for over an hour with it.
And it's still kind of pretty much in line with the things that you've done before, but I hear a little bit of difference in there too. Was that intentional? Just progressive for your songwriting? Tell me a little bit about the process of the music on that.
It's a little progressive. I don't know. Maybe it's part of getting older and growing and all that. You know.
Mm-hmm. And what's the cut that's dropping on that one for you right now?
Flathead 8, Everybody's Loving. It's a song about a hot rod, and people love that one. They love the song I wrote called Woman. It's a love song, but
yeah.
It's real. I don't know. It moves well.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Tell me, is there a point that sticks out in your mind that kind of feels like a defining moment? You know, a moment where you just knew this was clicking, this was going to work, this was going to be the path, and you know you'd reached kind of the stride that you wanted to be with this.
You know, it continues to happen. Actually, every time we play with one of our heroes or just get to do what we're doing and progressing in a career sense, it just keeps kind of proving itself to be the right path of what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay. That's awesome. Do the do you have a name for the band? Do they just...
Yeah, I call them... I took the room and called them the Awful Dreadful Snakes back when I first started doing it. It kind of stuck, so it's Stewie Moore and the Awful Dreadful Snakes.
Okay, that's great. And the new CD is American Outlaw. Tell me where folks can find you, find your music, get in touch.
Well, they can find me. My website's stewiemoore.com, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff. And you can download the new record or order the new record at rustyknucklesmusic.com. And my two previous albums are on my website. You can download straight from there.
And all three on iTunes?
I know the new one is. I think we had some discrepancies with the first two, and we're about to relaunch those on iTunes. But
okay.
They've been pulled off from all now.
All right. Great. Well, thanks, Pee-wee. I appreciate getting a chance to talk with you and learn about the new record. And I wish you the best in your touring schedule this summer.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist and talking about their music. Have a great day.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com. code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.